Yeah, I appreciate that. The songwriter worded it well when he said, "When his chosen ones shall gather over on the other shore." And that's who's going to be there, God's elect. Our Lord Jesus is going to make sure of that. He said, our Lord Jesus said, "All that the Father giveth me," let me say that again in case you missed it. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." He didn't say, "I hope they will." He said, "They shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." And that's what we believe here at Rescue Baptist Church, that our Lord Jesus Christ has a people who were promised to him way back before a star ever twinkled in the sky by God the Father in the eternal covenant of grace, conditional upon what the Lord Jesus Christ would do when he came to this earth. And he met all the conditions of the eternal covenant of grace. God promised us to his Son, and in fulfillment of what he has done, God keeps his promise, and under the preaching of his gospel, he reveals Jesus Christ and the truths of the gospel to us, giving us faith to embrace him and what his word says. It's all from God himself, right directly to the hearts of his people. And so I draw your attention to a passage of scripture in Mark chapter 10. The 10th chapter of Mark, during our Bible study Friday night, I brought this verse from Isaiah 42, verse 4. You don't have to turn there. But in that passage of scripture, God our Father clearly stated that when his darling Son, Jesus Christ, comes to this earth, God says he shall not fail nor be discouraged. Those are God's exact words. Jesus Christ is God Almighty, our sovereign creator. If he could fail, he would not be God.
That's right.
At the close of our Bible study Friday night, I quoted this statement from an article written by Pastor Don Fortner. It's worth repeating. Brother Fortner said, "That by which our God, the triune Jehovah, specifically distinguishes himself from all the idols of men, that which distinguishes the true and living God from all the false gods concocted and made by ignorant men is just this: our God is the God of purpose, and all that he purposed in eternity, he shall bring to pass in time. A God without purpose, or whose purpose can fail, a God whose purpose can be altered or thwarted, a God whose purpose can be resisted, is not God, but only a useless idol, carved from one of the trees in the dark forest of man's depraved imagination." And Pastor Fortner quoted this verse of scripture, "But our God is in the heavens, he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased." Now folks, I'm serious about preaching the gospel. All of God's preachers are. False preachers aren't. We're dealing with the eternal souls of men and women, and we better be right. And so we search the scriptures, praying that our God would enlighten our minds to the truths of what we are reading. And we compare scripture with scripture, digging, reading, studying, praying for a message from our God that will give him all the glory and minister to the hearts of his people. Listen to this passage of scripture in Ephesians 1:12. It tells us that God our Father is the one who first trusted in Christ. When God our Father sent his Son to this earth to do his will, he knew that his Son would not fail. He trusted Jesus Christ to do exactly what he sent him here to do. It was God the Father who sent his Son, but Jesus Christ came willingly. And what he did willingly, all for the glory of his heavenly Father. Now Jesus Christ is seated on his throne in glory, and the scripture tells us that we, whenever we have the opportunity to do anything in His name, the name of Jesus Christ, we are to do it for His glory. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord.
Amen.
Now before I read our scripture in Mark 10, I want to read this passage of scripture that's on the front of this morning's bulletin from John chapter 10, verses 24 through 30. We read this: Then came the Jews. These were unbelieving Jews who found nothing but fault in our Lord Jesus. They came round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Isn't it interesting that when they asked him that question, our Lord didn't repeat what free will Arminian preachers falsely teach? Well, just make a decision for me. Just exercise your free will. He didn't say that. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now that's the inspired word of God. Our Lord Jesus has a sheep, a flock, a people. They're called His elect. They're called vessels of mercy. They were given to Him by God the Father. Just read that. Words that came from His mouth while He walked here on this earth. Worked too, but walked. And those who deny, and I brought this out Friday night, those who deny the perfect redeeming work of Jesus Christ for a particular people, they deny Jesus Christ. And so what I'm about to read to you and try to expound on is the account of the healing of blind Bartimaeus. I'm thankful for my wife. She knew what I was going to be preaching on. One of the prelude songs that she played was Once Sit Alone Beside the Highway Begging. That has reference to this passage of Scripture. So I've titled this message, Jesus Christ, Blind Bartimaeus, and Me. This miraculous event that we're about to read about really happened. It's not a myth. It's not a figment of somebody's imagination. It's an event recorded in the scriptures that actually took place, that was purposed by God Himself before time began for the glory of His darling Son. Now don't lose sight of this blessed truth. Jesus Christ came to do the will of God the Father, and our Lord has never done anything haphazardly. He always does what He has purposed before time began, and He always will do what He has purposed before time began. And the Word of God tells us that nothing can stop Him from doing what He has purposed. Nobody can thwart His purpose. He's in control of everything. In Daniel, we read where all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and He, God, does according to His will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or even question Him. Say unto Him, What doest thou? That's the God we worship. So let me just take us through this miraculous event that took place in the life of Bartimaeus, verse by verse. Look at verse 46. We read, And they came to Jericho. And as He went out of Jericho with His disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Jesus Christ our Lord came to Jericho and passed right through Jericho. We don't read where he stopped to do anything. He just went into Jericho, went right on through Jericho, and he was on a divine mission. That divine mission was to come to those who were his own. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, and he came to blind Bartimaeus. Our Lord Jesus had purposed for, it was our Father, and when I say our Father and the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit, there's only one God. John brought that out in his devotional this morning. Our Lord said, I and my Father are one. He didn't say, I and my Father is one. He said, I and my Father are one. Three divine persons that make up one glorious God. But way back in eternity, our Lord Jesus coming to Bartimaeus was purposed by God. Christ our Savior was right where God purposed him to be. Right where it was meant for him to be. Everything he did while he was here on this earth, every step he took, every word he spoke, every thought that went through his mind, every miracle that he performed, all of this was decreed by God before time began. And let me tell you something else. Blind Bartimaeus, sitting by the highway side begging, was right where he was supposed to be too. Right where he was purposed to be. And his condition, in all probability, it doesn't say, but in all probability, he was born blind, never having seen anything. And that also was purposed by our God for the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Now, as our Lord was walking, his disciples were with him. But it also says a great multitude of people. I believe that is pointing to God's remnant in the midst of ungodly reprobates. There has always been a remnant according to the election of grace. Even so, Paul said in Romans 11, at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. A remnant is a small number in comparison to all of those people who were walking with Christ, and his fame had spread throughout all of Israel, all of the nation of Israel, because you can't keep something like what our Lord Jesus was doing private. You cannot keep that a secret. It just spread like wildfire. And so he was being talked about by people all over that known area of the world at that time. So he attracted crowds who just wanted to see a miracle. But his disciples were walking with him as well, with a great multitude of people. Now, how does this apply to me? Our Lord Jesus passing through and coming right to blind Bartimaeus, and blind Bartimaeus being right there where he was purposed to be. How does this apply to me? Well, like blind Bartimaeus, I was nothing but a spiritually blind, hell-deserving sinner. Let me just share a little testimony of what took place when the Lord delivered me from darkness. My wife belonged to a church before we got married up in a little northern California town called Central Valley. They've renamed that whole area now, but it was called Central Valley then, and it's still Central Valley to me. And she belonged to a church called Trinity Baptist Church. And when I started dating her, I wanted to be near her, so I started going there too, for no other reason, just to be with her. Well, after we got married, I never went to church again. For 10 years, we lived the way I wanted us to live. Well, she wasn't even a Christian. She was just a professing Christian. She was under the preaching of Arminian free will doctrine. She had questions about certain scriptures that she didn't understand. Well, after about 10 years, when the Lord started dealing with me, I wanted to go to church. Somebody had planted some seeds along the way. God was giving the increase. So I wanted to go back to the church that she belonged to. Well, from that time, 10 years prior, when I went to that church, while it was nothing but a rank Armenian free will church, several different pastors had come, and the one that was there when I wanted to go back to church was a five-point Calvinist, a sovereign grace preacher. Now, who controlled that? The Lord had purpose for me to be under the preaching of His glorious gospel. That's where He delivered me from the power of darkness, the same power that delivered blind Bartimaeus that we're reading about. And God is the only one who can do that.
That's right.
Now, if you want to be technical, God's in control of everything that happens.
Amen.
He's sovereign. And we ought to delight in the fact that God has purpose to put us right where He wants to put us. We could have been born over in Iraq or Iran or Africa in the deepest, darkest jungles where they bow down to a stick. We could belong to a works religious organization that delights in what they have done, praising themselves for their ability to come to Christ. Our Lord said, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me. Drawing him, I will raise him up at the last day. We could be anywhere other than in a gospel preaching church. You ought to thank God for churches that preach the truth.
Yes.
We ought to thank God that He has purposed us to be here this morning, right where we are. This is God's purpose. He said, well, I have a free will. In your unregenerate state, your free will is bound by your depraved nature.
That's right.
And you cannot do anything except what your nature dictates for you to do, and that's always to do nothing but sin. Always. God gives us a new nature when we're born again, and that's a miracle. That's God's miracle. When we're born again, we're made partakers of the divine nature. He sends the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. That's when He gives us faith to believe on Jesus Christ and His glorious gospel.
Amen.
Look at verse 47. And when he, that is blind Bartimaeus, heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And like I mentioned earlier, the fame of Jesus Christ had gone throughout the land. And when that crowd was passing through, there was a lot of noise, and blind Bartimaeus no doubt heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth that was passing by, but the Lord had already started a work in his heart. He had already begun the good work, and he which hath begun a good work in us will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. And the reason I know that he had already had a good work done him, he doesn't call Jesus of Nazareth. Our text says he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. It was the people, the crowd, the multitude of people who were just wanting to see miracles that were referring to him as Jesus of Nazareth, seeing him as only a man, maybe a good teacher, maybe a prophet, but they didn't see him as the eternal Son of God sent from God the Father to do his will. But this man, and the disciples who were walking with the Lord Jesus, they knew who he was. Our Lord told his disciples, speaking to Peter directly, when he asked him, who do men say that the Son of Man is? They said, well, they're saying that you're some prophet, Elijah or somebody, or some good man. But he said, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Son, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And our Lord Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed that unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. So this man, when he cried out, he said, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. He knew that the promised Messiah would come through the lineage of David. He had some understanding. He also knew that Jesus Christ was the Lord. He calls him Lord in verse 51. He also saw his need of God's mercy, and he knew that Jesus Christ the Lord could bestow his mercy on him. He had no doubt that he had the power to heal him from his blindness. Well, how did he know that? How did he have that understanding? By divine revelation. God has to reveal that. There's an article in today's bulletin that's by C.H. Spurgeon, and the very first part of that, Mr. Spurgeon said, "If thou art no sinner, I have no salvation for thee." That's where God begins. Convicting us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He makes us aware of our bankrupt condition, our sinful condition, that we have nothing to offer God. Nothing. Makes us see our need of divine mercy, of God's mercy. And so blind Bartimaeus was not presenting his works, his free will, as a basis to earn God's mercy. He just cries out, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Look at verse 48. "And many charged him." But I think the many has reference to the multitude who were just wanting to see a miracle. "They charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Isn't this typical of unregenerate people? Even self-righteous works religionists, they don't want you crying out for mercy. They want you to do something to merit God's favor. And it depends on what false religious church you go to as to what it is that they will tell you to do in order to earn God's favor. Some say you can't be saved unless you get circumcised after the manner of Moses. Some say you can't be saved unless you get baptized. Some say you can't be saved unless you belong to our denomination or meet on Saturday or exercise your free will. It doesn't matter. Works religions don't want you crying out for God's mercy. They want you to earn God's mercy, and you can't, but they want to teach that you can by dictating to you, lying to you, telling you this is what you must do, and then God will save you. We, like I said earlier, God's preachers, we believe the word of God. I don't understand it all, I'll be honest with you. This is a deep book. It's a spiritual book. And we must have the Spirit of God within us to understand what little bit we do understand. And if any man tells you he knows it all, he's a liar. Because we don't know it all. Jesus Christ knows it all, but we don't know it all. But he reveals his truths as it pleases him. As Brother John brought out in his devotional, we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to keep growing as long as we're in this life. But this man called Bartimaeus, you couldn't shut him up. He saw his need of Jesus Christ, and he knew his need could be met by Jesus Christ. So when they charged him to hold his peace, he cried out the more a great deal, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, verse 48 says, verse 49 says, I'm just getting way ahead of myself. I got notes, really. Somewhere in my notes I have verse 49. Let me read it out of the Bible. We read verse 48. Verse 49, we read, "And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth you." Well, you know something? This reminds me of something. I won't even share that with you. Anyway, our Lord Jesus stood still. He stood still. The sincere cry from the heart of one who has the Spirit of Christ dwelling in him, the sincere cry for mercy, causes our Lord Jesus to stop in his tracks. He stood still. And he commanded. Verse 49 says he commanded blind Bartimaeus to be called. This command came from Jesus Christ. It's the same word that we read in 2 Corinthians 4, where he, God himself, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, commands the light to shine in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And like I said earlier, it was God who purposed all of this. And Jesus stood still because it was purposed by God before time began for him to come to this place and stop right there before Bartimaeus and command him to be brought to him. And God does this. This is God's work. It's God who works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The Word of God says that. The Word of God also says that this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. And so God sent his Son to do his will, and this was the will of God Almighty, that Jesus Christ would be right there hearing the sincere cry of blind Bartimaeus. And our Lord Jesus commanded that he would be brought to him. God uses instruments. You all believe that? We're nothing but instruments. Preachers are instruments. The gospel is God's instrument. He uses these things to deal with the hearts of his people, to open our blind eyes, to unstop our deaf ears. His Spirit working in us is the one who makes the gospel preaching effectual. And so our Lord commands that Bartimaeus be brought to him, and they call him. I believe they has reference to his disciples. The Lord used his disciples. Go tell Bartimaeus, I'm calling him. And so they did. They went to him and told Bartimaeus, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. Now folks, listen to me. If God convicts us of our need of Christ, and he does that by showing us that we're nothing but sin from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet, that anything we do in this life without Christ dwelling in us is nothing but sin, I don't care how moral it is. I know that is hard to grasp, for the unregenerate can't grasp it. But even for God's enlightened children, we were raised all our lives. We were raised, if you'll do good, then you'll be rewarded. Mama told me that. Daddy told me that. And then at Christmas time, unregenerate people lie to their children saying, better be good. Santa Claus is coming. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're doing. And you don't be good and you won't get any toys. And you know, that's just a false God. He doesn't even exist. There's no Santa. You say, well, that doesn't hurt. I'll tell you what it does. Little children start believing in Santa Claus, and then when they get old enough to realize it was nothing but a lie, and you try to tell them about Jesus Christ and the importance of believing on him, and they say, well, you lied to me about Santa Claus. Why should I believe you about Jesus Christ? So it does a little damage. But the point is, the only one who knows all about us is Jesus Christ, and nothing that we do in our unregenerate state is good in his sight. The Word of God tells us this. There's none good. No, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. None of us are good. There's only one good, and that's God. And our Lord Jesus said that to a rich young ruler. Why callest thou me good? Oh, well, he was good, but he was asking me, are you calling me God? So they came. His disciples came to the Lord Jesus Christ, or from the Lord Jesus Christ, to Bartimaeus and said, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And if you're convicted by God, the Holy Spirit, of your need of Christ, he has already began a good work. And he's calling you. And you can be of good comfort. Our Lord Jesus calls. This is an inward, efficacious, personal call that reaches the hearts of his people by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. He must call us. In the book of Acts, we read these words, the promises to you, to your children, to as many as to those who are far off, even to as many as the Lord our God shall call. That limits the number. "As many as the Lord our God shall call," he must call us. We must hear the voice of Jesus Christ. And if we hear his voice, we have the assurance that he has called us, that we are his own chosen blood-bought children. Then we read in this verse 50, where Bartimaeus, after he heard this, casting away his garments, rose and came to Jesus. He had no desire to sit there if Jesus was calling him. And he cast away his garments. That was the outer garment, a garment that would just hinder him from coming to Christ. And he didn't want anything to hinder him from coming to Christ. And that garment represents the outward garment of self-righteousness that all of us wear in our unregenerate state, thinking that our good's going to outweigh our bad. That's nothing but a fabricated lie. We have no righteousness of our own. Let me say that again. We have no righteousness of our own. The only righteousness that God himself will accept is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And when he gives us faith to believe on him, he dresses us in that perfect righteousness to where absolutely nothing can be laid to our charge. Does that bless you? Jesus Christ paid the sin debt in full for all of his chosen people. So cast away any works of righteousness you think that you might have done. Get rid of it. And come to Jesus Christ, believing on him as he is plainly set forth on the pages of Holy Scripture. Look at verse 50, or 51 rather. "And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight." That I might receive my sight. Our Lord Jesus knew what blind Bartimaeus wanted. Jesus Christ, is omniscient. He knows all things. That's one of his attributes. But his spirit working in Bartimaeus moved him to confess his need and the one who could supply his need. And that's how it applies to me, and that's how it applies to all who are enlightened by God the Holy Spirit. Our Lord Jesus is going to work in us, moving us to confess to him that we're a sinner. Nothing but a bona fide, hell-deserving, ill-deserving, undeserving sinner. He'll make us aware of that fact and move in us to confess that to him. To confess that we need him. To confess that we need his mercy. So he asked the blind man, what is it that you want me to do? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Now this is what I said earlier in verse 51. Bartimaeus called Jesus Lord. And the Word of God tells us that no man can call Jesus Christ Lord. That is, in the full understanding of the meaning of his lordship, no one can call him Lord but by the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in us. That's why I titled this message, Jesus Christ, Blind Bartimaeus and Me. Bartimaeus confessed his helpless condition, and when God works in us, he moves us to confess our helpless condition. Blind Bartimaeus cried out for mercy, and God working in us will move us to cry out for mercy. Look at verse 52. This is the closing verse of this chapter. Jesus said unto him, Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Just as soon as our Lord Jesus said unto him, just as soon as he said these words, thy faith hath made thee whole, he received his sight. The scales fell off of his eyes. All of a sudden he could see. How do you think he felt? How do you think blind Bartimaeus felt? I don't have to think. I know. The very same thing happened to me. Just as soon as my Lord gave me faith to believe on him, I saw the glory of God in his face. I saw Jesus Christ as my creator, the one who came to this earth and became a man. I saw Jesus Christ as my blessed Redeemer who established a perfect righteousness for me by keeping the whole law of God perfectly. I saw him reconciling me to God by the supreme sacrifice of Himself. I saw His blood as that which has cleansed me from all sin. I know I stand before God. Are you ready? I stand before God perfect. Not in my state, in my standing. Because I'm in Jesus Christ. And God sees me in Jesus Christ. And He sees no sin in His risen, exalted Son. And if He sees us in Him, He sees no sin in spiritual Israel. Does that bless you?
Hallelujah.
Brethren, it's good news. I didn't do anything. I just received His blessings when He came to me, according to His eternal purpose, which He purposed in Himself, came to me, regenerated me, convicted me of my need of Him. The cry that came from blind Bartimaeus' lips was a cry that God Himself put in his mouth, in his heart. That's the heart of the new man. And this is what God does. He moves us to cry out for mercy. Folks, listen, this is true. I wouldn't lie to you, not deliberately, but this is according to Scripture. Our Lord Jesus said, where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I in your midst. We gather in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We do everything that we can with the gifts that God has given us to exalt Him. And those who glorify His Son, God will bless. So He's here. He's right here in the person of the Holy Spirit, passing by like He passed by blind Bartimaeus according to the eternal purpose of God. He's working in the hearts of His children. And when we assemble together, there's a lot of excitement, but it's not this loud noise from the multitudes of unregenerate people who gather together to draw attention to themselves. It's praises to God, to our Lord Jesus Christ, for who He is and what He has done for us. The preaching of the gospel excites the hearts of God's people. And you might hear an amen every once in a while. And if you're here without Christ, may it be used by God to draw your attention to the one who is here, and move you to cry out to Him for mercy. You don't have to use an audible sound. That's not wrong, but you don't have to do it. It has to come from the heart. God looks upon the heart. Right where you're sitting, right now where you're sitting, if you believe that you need God's mercy, He looks upon the heart. He'll hear what your heart is saying. Cry out to Him, Lord, I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me for Christ's sake. And like I said earlier, that will stop Jesus Christ dead in His tracks. Actually, if you cry out to Him for mercy, He has already stopped in your heart. He's already there. And He moves you to cry out to God for mercy. And blind Bartimaeus was told by our Lord Jesus, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, faith is God's gift to the sinner. Amen. We know that. Faith does not save you. Jesus Christ is our Savior. But this saving faith, it's God's gift, but He calls it our faith because He gives it to us. It belongs to us. But true, genuine, saving faith delivers us from darkness, from the power of sin, from the power of Satan, from the power of self. And we know that Bartimaeus had true saving faith, not only because he called Jesus Christ Lord, but also because he followed Jesus in the way. Our Lord told him to go that way. Well, he turned Bartimaeus from going the wrong way to going the right way. And our Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we follow Him. And some commentators believe that has reference to Bartimaeus following Him to Jerusalem. He was on his way to Jerusalem. But I take it a step further than that. He followed Jesus Christ all the rest of the days of his life right into glory, where he is seated right now on one of the chairs that are waiting for us. We're going to be in the presence of the King of Kings forever and forever and forever. And if God has moved in our hearts, giving us faith to cry out to Him for mercy, giving us faith to believe on Jesus Christ, who gives His sovereign mercy to His chosen people at His appointed time of love for us. If we believe this, He has turned us from this way to the right way also, and we follow Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
We follow Him under the preaching of His glorious gospel, giving evidence that He has called us. We want to be where God's people meet. We assemble together on a regular basis. And so we follow His commandments to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, such as the manner of some is. We delight in the gospel. We want to be here. If love isn't motivating you to come to church, it's a wrong motive. I mentioned this Friday night. So we follow Him because He has enlightened our minds. And like John brought out in his devotional, and like I mentioned a while ago, we want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We follow Him in obeying His divine ordinances that He has given to His church. He says, get baptized. Baptism doesn't save you. It's being identified with the one who does save us. We go into the waters of baptism confessing that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. We go under, testifying that this is the death of the old man. We come up out of the water confessing that Jesus Christ is in us, the new man, and we're following Him. We have a desire to follow Him. We follow Him as we come to the Lord's table on a regular basis because He commands us to do that. That's not an option. This do in remembrance of me. We follow Him in the support of His glorious gospel that gives Him all the glory. Supporting Him, supporting Christ and His gospel by our monies, by our talents, by our gifts, by our presence, by our being where God's people meet. We follow Him in the way, the right way. Not just on Sunday. I know we're still sinners, and we cannot go through 1 minute of any day without sinning. But we have this desire to be like our Savior. And we hate sin and we love righteousness. So as much as is possible, we are moral, upright people, not to draw attention to ourselves, but to draw attention to Jesus Christ who dwells in us, praying that what He allows us to do will bring glory to His great majestic name. So I leave you with this. How does this story of blind Bartimaeus affect me? How does it apply to me? How does it apply to you? Do you see Jesus Christ coming to you according to His eternal purpose, saving you by His grace? When I use the term saving, I mean delivering us out of that awful prison house of belief that we were in. Doing that according to the eternal purpose of God for the glory of Jesus Christ our Savior. You see how this applies to you? If so, folks, we'll sing this closing hymn, simply amazed at who Jesus Christ is, what He has done in our lives, amazed at His eternal, immutable love for His own. Brother John, if you will, please.